B-Pod Studios.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Hey Tom, once again, a lot of talking heads in the media talking about how this is the end of the dynasty, you're going to fall off a cliff and become a bum and all this stuff. So, you know, I'm sure winning's sweet, but is it that little bit sweeter when you're constantly proving people wrong all the time?
I just like winning.
Chris Gasper on the line.
I just like winning.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this AFC divisional playoff between the New England Patriots and the 13-4 Los Angeles Chargers. Brady, then Michelle, sprinting in motion, right to left is Allen. It's a compact set, a give to Michelle, runs up the middle, turning forward, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Go, Patriots!
Michelle behind Evan, counter handoff, Michelle runs it right to the 10, angry right to the 5, to the pylon!
This crowd going.
Good seems to step back in the pocket. Throws a lot. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Have they stopped him yet? Surgical. It's a 15-yard dagger. Take a 21-7 lead. That's the way to start a football game.
Touchdown, Patriots.
It is an utter mismatch right now. Complete domination on one side of the football.
Receivers right. Brady with a give to Burkett. Runs it left. Turns upfield. Falls his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
It is an absolute beatdown. What a run by Burkett to the edge.
Brady turns. Gives to Michelle. Runs up the middle. Pushing the pile. Driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Wow. Third touchdown of the day.
Felipe Gilmore intercepting in front of Keenan Allen. There's a rocket. He's going to be hit by Trey Flowers. And sacked by Trey Flowers. And now they've got a take of performance like today's. They've traveled to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year.
Yep.
They will meet in the AFC Championship game.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
That's a drop in quality there. You go from Teenage Wrist to Machine Head by Bush. Yikes.
Bush has always just been like whatever to me.
I just always thought of them as the ultimate posers. Just it was like some record label person got, it was their wet dream. It was like, ooh, good looking guy singing something that sounds kind of like Nirvana. There we go. There was no like real... like emotion behind what they did. It was just kind of going through the motions. Yeah, it was like no substance.
I assure you we'll get back to football in 1 second, but I have to ask the room, meaning Dan and Ridge, what happened to Fuel?
Oh,
Fuel were like huge.
But Fuel, okay, so Fuel was one of those bands that was huge because they got played in a million radio stations, but I don't think they were ever like huge as far as selling tickets or Fever. And I know that singer quit. They tried to get Daughtry from American Jesus. Idol, and like he publicly, like a matter of fact, there was a thing on American Idol. It was the band Daughtry asking him to be in the band, and he said he'd think about it. And dude, when Daughtry shuns being the singer of your band, you're done.
Because there was a time.
Yeah, come on, John, you can chime in on this.
Okay, I'll end it now so everyone goes stick to sports. But there was a time at 99X where Rich and I worked in Atlanta that Hemorrhage in My Hands was the most played song in the history of the station.
There is a period of like alternative music where you had bands that got played all the time on the radio and no one was like a real fan. Bands like Eve 6, bands like Collective Soul. Like, I mean, Collective Soul couldn't come to the TD Garden and sell the TD Garden, even though they're played more than and Three Doors Down. Like, bands got played. What was the band that was Cumbersome? Seven Mary 3. Like, there were a million bands that got played a ton on the radio, yet no one was passionate about them. Meanwhile, there are
no
bands.
No one was passionate about the soul?
No one was down with all the right, sea
again,
soul.
Again, just real quick. The singer of Collective Soul, what's his name?
That would be, Will was the bassist.
Ed Roland.
Ed Roland, that's right. All right. Dean Roland was his brother in the
Dean
band.
Roland's a good guy. But Ed Roland, like, there was a time where his, like, wife left him or something, and he came in and it was, like, out of a bad movie. He had, like, a beer in his hand and, like, his shirt was unbuttoned.
He was the tortured artist?
Yeah, and he was like, yeah. I don't know, man, you know, life.
So he just tweeted and said, Fuel played a Portuguese feast in New Bedford a few years ago.
But I just was in the car in Tennessee, and they played Hemorrhage in My Hands, and I'm like, that's not a good song, but it's... It was everywhere.
Like, where did they go?
All right, Rich. Well, we're back to sports now. I just had been waiting around to ask Rich and Dan. I've been on the top of my head.
Like, what happened to Fuel?
Just, they were huge on okay. the radio.
All right. Well, listen, there is something we need to get to that has to do with one of the games this past weekend. Well, first of all, we all know what happened with that Rams-Cowboys.
They pass on a chance to make it a two-possession game. Anderson says, Sean McVay, you made the right call. Touchdown, Rams.
And you know who I've forgotten several times this season is on the Rams? Maybe it's because he's been injured for a long time. That would be the one and only Aqib Talib. Well, Aqib Talib wanted to remind you that he was indeed still on the team. Here is Jared Goff after the game is done. And this is, once again, on what network was that on? Fox? Because it sounded like Joe Buck.
Yeah,
so guy from Fox on the field immediately after the game interviewing Jared Goff. And here comes Aqib Talib crashing the interview.
We know this defense, and we prepared for it well all week. And what Todd and CJ did this week.
It's a nice soul. He's taking
the
soul out.
Aqib Talib, excuse the language. He's a little excited.
I'll bleep that one.
Yeah, well, we're
right,
live.
Though. He's right. But
walks right up.
Chris Myers, though, with the veteran move, just pulls the microphone because he's unfazed.
I thought he was going to try to do the stiff arm, but then again, he knew better because Aqib Talib would have snatched his chain and punched him in the face.
I mean, at that point, what are you going to do?
What are you going to admonish him for swearing?
You just go, you know what? Let Aqib Talib be Aqib Talib. Oh, I love Aqib Talib.
Oh, that's my dog, man. I
miss him so much. He was the king of the locker room. Quote,
you need him at a Super Bowl.
Need Aqib Talib.
Oh, I would stand
at a podium. At the Super Bowl.
Let's say it's a Rams Patriots Super Bowl, Fred.
Oh man!
Like, I'm going to stand in front of his podium the entire 60 minutes at media day. I just want to talk to Aqib Talib for an hour. I want to talk to Aqib Talib.
Yeah. Talk about what cars he had. Talk about his favorite TV shows.
Honestly, he alone would make it worth going to Super Bowl media day.
Yes, I would agree with that. By the way, am I the only one who's starting to hate Sean McVay? And it's not anything he's doing.
It's just because everyone's
everyone's looking for the next Sean McVay. The spotlight's on him.
And it's not his fault. Yeah. I also think that they're completely dismissing the fact that it's not just because he's an offensive guy. Like, he's a good leader. Like, everyone who's played for him and talked about his attitude. I mean, it's more than just, hey, he's a young offensive guy.
And they're not like a high-flying offense. They rely on the
scoring,
run.
High scoring.
Yeah, right,
not high flying.
No,
you're right.
Not like the Patriots used to be where they operate out of the shotgun and throw the ball all over the place.
It's not like
run the football a ton, too. It's not like that.
It's a very balanced team.
Right.
And so, you know, everyone's under the assumption that he's this, you know, gunslinger guy. I mean, he got Goff to play well, and I guess that's a feat, even though Goff was considered to be an immensely talented quarterback.
You watch Tom Brady throw bombs. He on my team. Hey, man. That's fun.
Just all I want is for him to be. And you know what? The other thing, too, is that did you hear? John, do you know the background between the hatred between Marcus Peters and Sean Payton?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
So
there has to have been a horse involved at some point. Wasn't Marcus Peters the guy who's afraid of horses?
No. That's Eric Berry.
Eric Berry.
No, Marcus Peters, and I believe there was a game, and I don't, trust me, I don't watch enough of the Rams to know. Apparently, Sean Payton, I guess, was talking trash to Marcus Peters at one point from the sideline because Marcus Peters is BS. About playing against the Saints again. So here he is being interviewed in his locker after the game, already licking his chops, talking about Sean Payton. Here he is.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines too. So tell him, keep talking that shit, and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we gonna have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Sounds good.
I love it. I want it. Are you got a key to leaving Marcus Peters? I love it.
Yeah, Marcus Peters, not a great teammate.
Well, he's the one who went in the stands just recently, right?
Yeah, he's
you know that dude?
He's a maniac. I mean, he got ran out of town in Kansas City. I mean, he's very talented.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
But they, I mean, they didn't keep him around. By the way, did you see what Sean Payton did where he brought in the they had armed guards.
Oh, yeah, this is genius.
What was in the wheelbarrow? It was a wheelbarrow, right?
No. It's like a glass case. It has Lombardi trophy, his Super Bowl ring, and like $252,000 in cash, which is, I get what you get if you win the Super Bowl.
That's the bonus you get.
All in ones.
Yeah.
All in ones. And I guess coaches have done this before.
Oh, wow.
And he brought in his, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, you want this, win three games. and the locker room went nuts.
Yeah. Everyone likes money. We will be right back. Bob Sosi going to join us at 9.
You got Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Throw bombs, he on my team. Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Hey, that's fun, that's fun, that's fun. Hey, oh, that's my dog. Hey, it's the NFL, man. Hey,
keep me entertained, dog.
You got Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Throw bombs, he on my team. Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Hey, that's fun, that's fun, that's fun. Hey. Oh, that's my dog. Hey, it's the NFL, man. Hey,
keep me entertained all day.
It's fun, man. Just
keep me entertained all day.
Chargers will rush 5, and Brady throws down the middle for Gronkowski, making the catch, runs away for one defender, breaks another tackle, and Brady drives the third Charger forward to the Los Angeles 36. Eventually, Adrian Phillips made the tackle.
Kansas City watching this right now saying, uh-oh, they are just spreading the rock around to everybody.
It is true. They were distributing the ball all over the place. It helps when your offensive line is pushing the defense about 5 yards downfield on every running play.
Doesn't that suck, though, that right there, however, might end up being the last catch from Rob Gronkowski that you'll see at Gillette Stadium? I mean, that is... And you could hear the crowd. They even, like, cheered extra loud because a lot of people knew. They heard the story that came out that he is once again possibly considering retirement at the end of the season. No one would blame him. He looked great yesterday as far as just blocking. I mean, he truly made some of those plays, even though he only had one catch yesterday for, what was it, 25 yards that he ripped off. But that would truly suck if he ends up retiring. Good for him, but bad for everyone who is a fan of any kind of locker room with a personality. Because there's nobody like him, and there hasn't been anybody like him since. He was, wasn't he like the first guy who basically had carte blanche to say anything he wanted to in the locker room? And he didn't seem to have any repercussions. Like, he would go up and he would joke, you know, like 69. He would talk about Soy Fiesta. But like, in a time when he showed up at the Patriots, it was the most joyless locker room in the league. And he's exactly what you needed. And he was so damn good that Bill Belichick or anyone else wouldn't say anything.
Plus, they, as players progress, and that's another thing that they think about McVay, is that because he's 12 years younger than me, but then he, or 11 years younger than me, he, they think that, or 10 years younger than me, maybe. So they think that, he can relate to this younger generation of players because Belichick, I mean, how many generations of players has he been through? And Gronkowski probably showed a little bit of the evolving of Bill Belichick in that. This guy's a superstar. I can't constrain him.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta, like, give him a little bit of a leash.
And he did all the right things on the field and apparently at practice. Like, he was an ideal player when it came to when you needed to be a football player. And so let him do the crazy things as long as it doesn't affect his game. And the only time I remember there being any kind of weirdness was when he was with that porn star and just took her picture. And I remember that was so unfair that was even a story. Like, he took his picture with the porn star. Like, who cares?
If he had sex with her 100 times, who cares?
Yeah, like, that was such a non-story that blew up into something massive.
But is he got to be this bastion of morality? And then how dare you sleep with a porn star? You can sleep with whoever he wants.
And so remember what...
Sex with 10 hookers if he wants.
And that was the year that we had Gronk on every week. And we had both him and we had her on. I forget what her name was.
Bree...
No.
No.
Not Bree.
BB Jones. BB Jones. That was Jones. It.
You're thinking of another porn star named Brie. She was with Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but I remember, like, even Rob Gronkowski was on, and we're like, you don't need to apologize for anything. And he said, well, you know, there was, I believe Robert Kraft stopped him in the hallway and just simply said something like, all right, you know, you can't really be taking pictures like that. And to that, I'm like, why?
Why?
What harm did he? Now, the best thing that came out of that is the fact that he traveled with his own jersey so people could take pictures with it.
Yeah.
Like, that was great.
he just happened to have one on hand. Yeah, he was could, like, wear.
He was back in Arizona.
Right. He was the back Kate in Arizona. Right.
And he's just like, you know, party hardy.
I'm going to plow through Tempe.
Yeah, why not?
Which I think he did.
Just like the idea that you can't be with a porn star. That it's anybody's business if you're with a porn star.
But there was nobody like him with the Patriots before, and even in the NFL. And it's weird now that he's gone. And this year's been kind of a bummer because you could tell that he hasn't been enjoying himself as much. He hasn't been the same old Gronk.
Well, here's the deal, is that he's not going to make nearly as much money if he plays football next year. And the difference between the money he makes playing football and the money he can make off the field starts to get a little bit closer. Also, he did have a great game blocking yesterday. However, I mean, how fun is that? I mean, you know,
he loves it, though. You could tell that he even asked him. Yeah, that one time.
I understand that, but it's also, you know, it's more fun to be the best tight end in football.
Sure.
And when you've been that way for several years and now you're kind of relegated to a block, offensive lineman, essentially, you know, that's just not as fun. Plus, you weigh all the physical problems that he's had. I just don't. If I was advising him, I would advise him to retire. I don't know why you wouldn't. It's just your body's breaking down. You want to have a high quality of life as good as you can. I mean, those back problems. Ooh boy.
Yeah, the back's the worst.
Once you get your back, once you screw up your back, I mean that can haunt you. So you don't want to do any more damage to that.
And let's say you do wrestle. And I've heard so many different numbers and figures being thrown one way or the next. I've heard like as little as like a $500,000 a year. There was that wrestling expert that we had on that one time. And then I've heard all
wasn't
the way up to
Jimmy Stewart who said, no, there's no way he's going to make $1 million.
But we had some wrestling expert on that was just weird and annoying. And I don't believe anything that he said.
I think we hung up on him halfway through it.
Yeah, because he was just, he was like so condescending. Yeah. Like, you don't know what wrestlers make? No. No, I don't.
I don't really study that.
It's, you know, what is it, in Forbes? Like, how the hell would I know what wrestlers make?
But just think of what a much better life that would be, because you get to call your own shots. And if you're somebody like Rob Gronkowski, you're going to be a feature wrestler a lot like Ronda Rousey was, where Ronda Rousey's not wrestling every week. She's not even wrestling like once a month. She goes in, she every once in a while will throw somebody, and it'll be like a tiny little wrestling thing to set up your WrestleMania match or your one out of every 3 or 4 month big pay-per-view that's coming up, where you do indeed have to do some sort of physical activity, but you can dictate how it goes. Because you have that type of leverage.
Well, he also has $60 million in salary that he's, and then plus all the endorsements. So I would guess he's up around $80 million.
No, without a doubt.
So, I mean, he could also choose to do nothing or to choose to, you know, create. He can do, who was it from the Tigers that started a limo business? And he was like, and he dated some, like, porn chick. Bobby Higgins. Bobby Higginson was like, if a 14-year-old got a bunch of money, like, he dated, it wasn't even a porn star, he dated some stripper. Do you remember the girl who was on the People's Court because the guy sued her for dropping her breast on his head and said that it did next
damage? No, I don't remember that.
Well, he was dating her at the time.
Oh, all right.
And he's like, I got a sweet limo business.
Well, Gronk's halfway there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a limo bus business, which I see all the time around town. I mean, whatever the business is, I think he's got like 3-4 buses. But I see the Gronk bus a lot. There's pictures of it as well, too. I don't know if it's actually, you know, Goon who's driving it. He drives, I know, Gronk's. But, I mean, he's going to be fine. And you know what? He's one of the few people who a reality show with him and his brothers would be fantastic. That would actually be a good show to watch. And there's so many of them out there. But Rob Gronkowski has that thing that you can't buy, and that is likability. Yeah. People love that guy.
Yeah.
And seems like he's never had a bad day in his life. And to see him and his brothers just smashing stuff, And I don't know, just bringing a, as I said, bringing a magician to do magic tricks and just watch the Gronkowski be baffled for an hour, and I'd watch it.
It would be called slack-jawed with the Gronkowskis.
How'd you do that,
my
man?
My God!
Did you, by the way, see who's going to be in Celebrity Big Brother?
Yes. I thought of you guys when I saw it last night.
Man by the name of Ryan
Lochte.
Yeah.
He's going to be in it, and so is, oh, like that Scaramucci guy, Anthony Scaramucci.
Yeah, that's right.
Who was there for a minute with...
Tom Green, living large.
Tom Green.
Oh, man.
That's Joey Lawrence.
Oh, that I didn't see.
Joey Lawrence is now bald. Is on it.
Wow. He's been bald for a while, hasn't he?
I've not been keeping up with Lawrence's career.
I thought you were a Brotherly Love fan.
I did. I watched every episode of Brotherly Love.
Lochte and Lawrence hanging out
together.
Brotherly
Love is the overweight version of
it. Yeah, that's Louis Anderson.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought I had the list in front of me. But, yeah, I mean, it's who's who of who, except for, of course.
There's a bunch of people that I've never heard of. But then, I mean, there's got to be some embarrassment to being like Joey Lawrence and having to go on that thing.
Did you say Ricky Williams?
Yeah, Ricky Williams.
Yes, I remember that. Yep.
So that's something to keep an eye on. By the way, it's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. As Patrice Bergeron and us, we present Pucks and Paddles. It's going to be Thursday, February 7th at the Royale in Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. Toucher and Rich, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and others. VIP tickets are $200 and give you access to the autograph session with the team. General admission tickets are $50 for all information. And to buy tickets, go to 98.5thesportshub.com.
Lochte for president. Yeah!
Toucher and Rich. Can mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Michelle behind Devlin, counter handoff. Michelle runs it right to the 10, angling right to the 5, to the pylon. Diving, touchdown, Patriots.
What a run. And that's why I'm telling you, you've got to live with the 2-yard gains because it allows you to continue to pound and pound. And it's just, look at Sony Michelle finding a way to get to that pylon. And we question, how's the rookie going to look in his first big divisional playoff game? He's looked pretty good so far.
Yeah, he's looked like he... And an offensive line that was dominating the line of scrimmage. So much for Joey Bosa.
Yeah, that was strange. You know, and you're right. The only time you heard Joey Bosa's name mentioned was when they were talking about how his name had not been mentioned.
How ineffective he is.
Right. That he just was a non-factor in yesterday's game.
Not against, I mean, he had half a tackle.
Now the question is, can they duplicate that? Can they do what they did last night? Can they do it in Kansas City at Arrowhead?
I can't. You know, the Chargers were married to that defense due mm-hmm. to lack of personnel. And it just, I don't think that there was anything they could do to change it on the fly. And so you would have to think that Kansas City, even though their defense isn't very good, has at least the... And by the way, say what you want about Andy Reid in the playoffs and he mismanages clocks and things like that. Andy Reid's a great coach.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and
of course.
They did a pretty good job of shutting down a team that... What, 80% of all prognosticators had picked to beat them on their own home field? I mean, Indianapolis was playing really, really well, and Kansas City completely shut them down.
And by the way, you were talking about Sean McVay, how people have been fawning over him for the last, like, several weeks when the coaching search is going on. Sean McVay, arguably the worst coach that's left.
Oh, yeah.
It was certainly
the least proven by far.
Without a doubt. So, I mean, these are the heavy hitters. I mean, these are the matchups you want to see. This is the four that I think a lot of people had hoped the season is going to end with. And as a matter of fact, if you like offense, you're going to get it next week because what you have right now are the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 ranked offense in the league. Kansas City being first, the Rams being second, New Orleans being third, and New England being fourth. However, when you take a look at the defense, as a Patriots fan, you should feel pretty good because right now they are the best of all of them. They are ranked 7th in total defense. And then it goes New Orleans with 14th, the Rams with 20th, and Kansas City all the way in 24th place. However, John, as you said, and this is very strange, is that they might be 24th in defense, but they're first in sacks?
Yep.
Okay.
52 sacks in 16 games.
Well, then they must be horrible everywhere else.
Yeah. The secondary had their problems. You saw the Patriots tear them to shreds when they came to town earlier.
You got to just load up against the run. And then you load up against the run, and you take back that, you take off that play action, and you can, I mean,
make Tom Brady beat you.
Make Tom Brady beat you deep. I mean, you can.
Yeah.
I mean,
just saying it is weird. You make Tom Brady beat you.
I mean, let's be honest. His deep ball, no bueno.
Yeah. I mean, if you take a look at most of his passes. He was getting the reason that Joey Bosa wasn't able to hit him is that they're throwing the ball so fast.
Yeah, and that's their offense. I mean, and they do that very well. But don't you agree? You'd stack against the run.
Yeah. If you take this team this year,
yes,
this year, and you know, Troy Brown was in here earlier and said it right. Patriots run to set up the pass, and for a decade plus, it was the other way around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're a run first team that also passes.
Yeah, and it's White. He catch 15 balls
15
yesterday?
15 passes out of the backfield yesterday.
I mean, these are things that should be able to be stopped.
And we've seen, well, that's the other thing. We've seen teams, like I think it was Tennessee that did it, take James White out of the game. Okay, you can. We dare you to throw to Gronk, who's not nearly what he used to be. We dare you to throw to the outside. Okay, you want to throw to Chris Hogan? Good luck. Yeah. We're going to take James White out of the game. And Tennessee did that. Vrabel was very smart that day. And Tennessee made them look bad and beat them.
Fred, do you think there's any teams who are reconsidering their coaching hire and thinking they should have gotten Josh McDaniels after yesterday's game?
Oh, yeah. Josh McDaniels said, oh, you're going to play seven defensive backs. Yeah. I think I'm going to run.
Oh, you're not going to change your game plan?
Okay. Yeah. You're going to stay zone? All right, I'm going to throw.
Yeah. I would guess that, you know, when Cowher makes the call before the game,
yeah,
that you're going to run power football. You're not surprising anybody.
You're Josh McDaniels. You had 2 weeks to prepare for this team. Imagine all the hours of tape he looked at, all the time he spent meticulously getting a game plan together, and he really didn't need to study at all.
No.
All that time wasted.
Any praise that was given to him as being this genius after the Ravens game, just take it all back. Because it just seemed like that's all they could do. That's all they had, and they just kept it that way. How did you not adjust? At least just go from zone to man on a couple of these plays.
I just don't feel that they felt they had the personnel to do it. That they were married to, you know, they played the 7-6 backs, and then they're very quick, and they, you know, they get to the ball quickly, and it just, the Patriots were getting pushed off that line that you just don't see. Well, right away. Right when they get the ball. I mean, what were the chunk yards right when they get the ball, the first drive?
Oh, well, that first drive was 7.5 minutes long, or 7 minutes and 11 seconds.
All right.
And it was, I have it right here, 14 plays, 83 yards for 7 minutes and 11 seconds, the longest playoff opening drive in the Brady era. Yeah. I mean, just like you couldn't have designed
it
better.
They were
doing whatever they wanted to at will against the Chargers.
Five plays of 8 yards or more.
Yeah.
Three of those plays went to White on passes.
And by the way, I heard the excuse yesterday that the reason that the Chargers didn't make any kind of switch is because they didn't have enough planning time in order to make them be able to figure out some other way to combat what they were doing wrong. They said because, you know, of all the travel. And to that I say, well, that's on the team. You could have stayed on the East Coast. And this whole, we couldn't get the equipment here. You know, you could plan ahead of these things. Yeah, I still don't understand how you can use this excuse that all this equipment needs to be here. What can't you do on a laptop? Honestly, what tape can't you watch on a laptop? What meeting can you not have where you're looking at plays on a laptop? Like, what do you need to bring the TI-80? What's the old one from back in the day that used to stand in those 70s movies?
Oh,
with a reel-to-reel?
That's right.
Like those giant... Do you need the Tron machine to zap you into the computer so you can actually be on the simulated a video that you have there? No.
I mean, look at these... That penalty on the first drive that would have forced the Patriots to a field goal. You get that, and then you don't fumble that punt. At least it's somewhat of a game.
I heard, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about the Patriots and being away and how Arrowhead's the toughest place to play, and it's all true, and they're unproven this season. And they're awful on the road. And Bert said something, too, that's a little concerning, is that, you know, a buddy of his at the NFL Network did some digging and looked at, in the playoffs, how many more flags are thrown on the opposing team as a in relationship to the home team, and it's drastic.
Yeah.
It's a drastic amount.
Sports Illustrated did that, and the only way that they can figure out why that is because the officials are swayed by the crowd.
Well, there's that, and also, of course, there's the obvious things like, you know, offsides, false start rather, because the, you know, the guys can't hear the quarterback snap. You know, there's that, but you're right. There is the human element with these refs is that they don't want to be hated. And you throw a flag, and it's a little easier to throw it for one where you're going to get that positive reinforcement than it is the otherwise. You know, there's still human beings underneath there, and they're going to react as such.
Yeah, the Sports Illustrated a couple of years ago did a big thing on what the factors are and why it is that way, and that what they came up with was it was human error and just being kind of swayed by the crowd. But it should be interesting. I mean, that place is... That's a very, very difficult to play, place to play and a very, very loud place to play. And the Patriots obviously are not good on the road, and this is about a worst-case scenario for where you'd have to go.
And Mahomes is relaxed. He's at the end of his rookie year. Who knows if the lights are going to be too bright for him, but he's playing in his own home stadium. He's seen the Patriots before. He knows he missed more than a few throws early in the game the last time he played the Patriots.
Yeah, and he was good.
Yeah, and he was really, really good.
Right.
The second, third, and fourth quarters against that secondary, which is supposedly the strength of this team. I don't know. This is going to be real tough to beat this team.
Yeah. I mean, they're a dog.
Yeah, they're a dog for only the second time playoff dog since 2007.
But I mean, it's a field goal, right? And you get it. Yeah. I'm not the betting guy, but you get a field goal for being the home team to begin with.
Yeah, it's essentially a pick'em, but still.
Well, I mean, they're giving them three. I mean, it is what it is. So we shall see how that line moves. But a very difficult place to play, and I guess the Chiefs can pick up from the Chargers. Try to stop the run.
Don't play seven defensive backs the whole game.
Yes, I guess they could figure that out. We're going to talk to Bob Soucy at 9.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And the drama is over. Last night, finally, it was announced. Finally, James Brown was able to just get on the mic and announce it. I mean, us in the know were aware of it.
we kind of had done our research and sniffed around and shook a few sources.
It seems like, you know, it was a no-brainer of a decision. Ladies and gentlemen, playing your halftime show at the Super Bowl, the Five.
Oh, we're going to have the Maroon 5, baby. Come on. Give me a little. Here's something funky, Maroon 5. Give me something good.
The Rolling Stones were interested in participating in this.
That it was my favorite story that came out last year.
The Five turned them down.
That honestly, there was a quote from Adam Levine, the only guy from Maroon 5 anybody knows, who said, "Yeah, you know what? We're going to reach out to the Rolling Stones and maybe they can be a guest on our during our halftime show." And I'm like, "You cocky bastard! You think that one of the biggest bands in the world will just show up and be a guest? So it'll be Maroon 5 featuring members of the Rolling Stones."
I mean, yeah, if you want to stand on stage with the Five, take your chances
without getting blown off the stage.
Well, you're going to get blown off the stage,
which could happen. I mean, listen, it's just, you know, unfortunately, you have legends that are already going to be there, Mick Jagger's just going to be like, "I'm sorry, I just can't take the heat.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm Maroon 5.
Can you imagine that? Oh, that would have been... What a cocky bastard. So who do they end up getting in the end? They ended up getting...
Travis Scott. And Big Boy.
And Big Boy, spelled B-O-I.
Who is Travis Scott?
He's got a lot of hits.
Is he a country musician?
No. He is... Is he from Atlanta? Because I know that Big Boy is from Atlanta, and that's one of the reasons that they've added him.
The best thing about Big Boy is when you bought one of the Outkast albums, it had inside the cassette, in the packaging, you could order specially bred pink pit bulls.
Yep, it was in Stankonia. It was pit bull breeding. Like it was, and back in the day, it was you like cut out a little thing and filled out a form, and they would send you info.
on how to get a pink bulldog or a pit bull. I'm sure all that inbreeding is wonderful.
And I believe that was also before the Michael Vick situation.
Yeah, they have a great demeanor when they specifically inbred them into a certain color.
So Big Boy's biggest hit would be I Like the Way You Move,
yes.
Right? Okay, as an individual, not with Outkast. Because I remember when Hey Ya came out, that was Andre 5000's, Andre 3000. Is it three or two? I forget how many thousands are in his name. But Andre was Hey Ya. And then Big Boy's answer to that was I Like the Way You Move.
It was like a double out. It was one side was Andre 3000 and the other side was Big Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, so Big Boy, it depends how hardcore he wants to get. Because if the five are backing you up. Sunday morning, Big Boy's got to rhyme over this. It ain't easy.
They're going to close the show with that. There's going to be a lot of snapping in the crowd. This has potential to be Black Eyed Peas bad.
Ooh. My wife says that Travis Scott is dating Kylie Jenner.
Well, then he must be a good musician.
Can you imagine the pressure on Big Boy? Like when they put down that beat and everyone's just going crazy and then like Big Boy, how are you gonna rap to this?
Sunday morning. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, look who it is. Get off the stage. Time for the five. The old coots. He actually said, I gotta find the quote. He was like, you know, they're going on tour right now, the Rolling Stones, and they could use help with the younger generation. You know, maybe selling some tickets. Dude, they're going to sell a gazillion tickets to people who spend a gazillion dollars for a seat. Like, they're right in the perfect price point. Dudes who are like 65, who got more money than they're going to, they either spend it or they die with it. So they're going to spend all, like, $1,000 for a ticket, probably in the 300 section, because that's what those bands can charge now.
I wonder if Travis Scott will be able to get through the performance without weeping. Just when the beauty of the five when they're all together collectively.
It would be very tough.
You know, and then they just start shredding. I mean, they got to showcase a little drum solo.
Really?
Oh yeah. If you see the five live, the four of the guys get off the stage and they just say, let the drummer get some.
Does the Maroon 5 have an actual drummer, or is it just a guy who presses start on the Casio?
Dude. That's not a drum machine.
It's got the clap sound effects here.
I just love the origins of this band. Like going out to the garage and what do you guys want to play?
Press this button. Sorry, wrong setting on the Casio. Something else.
Never before have the worlds of garbage.
It's the girl you know. It's true settings.
Yeah, I heard the living one is going to come out.
Vanilli?
Yeah, Vanilli's going to come out and rock the place. Bob Soucy, who called the game yesterday. And probably was looking for things to talk about during the second half.
Yes.
Could not have been easy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.